Of all the rodents in the world, rats are the one that I have a visceral dislike of. A rat is the main villain in the movie Lady and the Tramp. My father was a Chicago firefighter who often told us gruesome stories about rats attacking people and eating dead bodies. When my son Joey came home with that white rat in fifth grade, the little thing's intelligent eyes and sweet disposition quickly quelled my antipathy. When I visit my daughter in New York City, we compete to see who can spot the most rats skulking around the subway tracks and in Katie's neighborhood. That counts as wildlife watching in the Big Apple. In natural habitat, particularly on islands, non-native rats and mice exact a huge toll on endangered species. Eradicating them can be done where people maintain sanitation standards and aren't constantly augmenting their numbers via transporting grains and other foods, but virtually every rat control project involves collateral damage to humans, pets, and other wildlife, and despite our best efforts in big cities, it's impossible to entirely eliminate them. Widespread as rats are, Russ and I have not had to deal with them often during our lives. I spotted one once in our own backyard in Duluth in the 1980s, but that was a one-time event. We set out a live trap but just caught chipmunks and never saw another rat in our neighborhood for decades. Duluth is far enough north that our cold winters have historically kept rats in check, except where they can be well protected from sub-zero temperatures. Downtown Duluth has had long-standing rat problems that I learned about when I was working there back in 2005. Apparently, rats have a huge subterranean population living in the tunnels beneath the streets and buildings where they can stay plenty warm. I never saw a rat downtown, but did occasionally find droppings, once even on my desk. With climate change and an increase in composting, Duluth's rats seem to be more able to survive outside of their sheltered downtown environment and are spreading. A few years ago, I spotted one at a friend's feeder further east in my neighborhood. There had been a large construction project just a couple of blocks from her place, so I was hoping that was a temporary problem. But this year, Congdon Park School, just a couple of miles west of my neighborhood, was so badly infested with rats that they had to close down the building and grounds for the entire summer. And suddenly, rats started appearing right on my own block. My neighbors started seeing them fairly frequently on the other side of Peabody Street. I didn't see any myself until just last month when a large rat and a smaller one appeared in the back of my yard where I feed my juncos and native sparrows on the ground. The two rats scurried off to a tunnel under our neighbor's shed. When I told them about it, they mentioned that they'd seen rats during the summer and had already trapped a couple. I've always felt so lucky to live in a ratless area where I never had to worry about spreading seed on the ground during migration. That is now officially a thing of the past. And now Russ and I can't compost until we have a chance to entirely cage in our compost bins, including from below, to exclude all rodents. With rats on the scene, I can only feed birds from elevated bird feeders and am going to have to buy or create seed catchers too high for rats to jump into on all the poles that support my feeders to entirely eliminate spillage. One of my friends brought Russ and me some live traps. So far, we haven't caught a rat, which is a good thing because I'm not at all sure how we'd deal with it if we did catch one. My visceral antipathy for them would be offset the moment I made eye contact. The fact that we haven't seen or trapped any so far shows that the measures we've taken have at least helped. But a rat infestation on Peabody Street marks the end of my personal age of innocence. Too many people and a warming climate are wreaking havoc on this little planet, and attention must be paid. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.